Hey, Vanya.
Hi, Mike Jackson. Hi.
I want to know what era of Vanya would most be interested by the fact that you would one day send a message saying, I just need a little more time. I'm writing an email for the PTA.
What's the question?
I think that at every point you knew that you would, I just think it's funny sometimes that, you know, not funny that you're a mom, but like, you know, you do mom stuff now.
Fucking hilarious. You know? Excuse my language, but.
That's all right. I like it. We've established that I like the F word.
Okay. So, you know, I know. This is why we waited to have kids.
Uh-huh.
Because I know me and I know that I can't like fully, you know, I dive in deep. I dive in head first, I guess, as you should, hopefully, if you're a parent. But, you know.
What's going on? You have a lot of stuff going on there. You've overcommitted, I hear.
Yes, ma'am. I did. I'm sorry. I'm eating these delicious, super spicy gummy bears. Okay. Cinnamon bears. they're good. I did. I overcommitted. But a lot of the functions and things that the PTA does, you know, we raise money for, so the kids basically just support their education and do fun things. But a bunch of things just finished, and now I'm in planning mode for the gala, so to speak. It's really going to be just like a cupcake reception, but I like to call it a gala to make it seem fancier. But it's all good. I'm actually feeling much better today. But you know, I love my fucking kids, man.
So wait, what is the gala? What is the?
Oh, it's for that art. So I'm the chairperson.
That's what you were talking about before.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm the chairperson of this art program. Really, it's like a competition, but. I thought it'd be fun, and a lot of other schools do this, but they make it kind of like an Academy Awards, sort of, you know, celebrating and recognizing the fun projects that people put together for this. And so, yeah, I just want it to be so, so fun. I want people who didn't, like, participate in the art stuff to join and then be like, wow, I got a cupcake, and I got to see my friend's art. I'm going to do it next year, so we'll see if it goes, but... Yeah. And it was Adam's birthday yesterday, my husband's birthday. We went out to a nice dinner, and that's really what we did. And I have some thoughts on that for later that I will share with you. But we love him.
So I got to see Into the Woods for a second time.
Amazing.
Which was very, I was very excited. I did not think I'd get to see it again, but it's like a whole new cast. So I got to see, Patina Miller's still playing the witch sometimes, but she's trading on and off with Montego Glover, who I actually don't think I've ever seen before. Her big breakout was Memphis the Musical, but I never saw Memphis.
No, me neither.
And then like Stephanie J. Block is playing the baker's wife now, and her husband, Sebastian Arcelus, I think is how you say his name. He was on Madam Secretary, which I feel like, I don't know, I enjoyed that show. And then, like Krista Rodriguez, she was on Smash. She's playing Cinderella, and like she has a beautiful soprano voice. And I didn't realize that she was. I just think of her like kind of like a pop rock kind of girl. And then it was so two things besides that. Also, Gavin Krill was in, so he does do the show every once in a while. Just kidding.
Yeah.
And he was super fun. I'm so glad he was super super funny. It was really fun to see him interpret that role. And then yes, we saw Rocky together. So the guy who played Rocky, Andy Carl, was in playing. the Cinderella's prince role for a while, and he's now playing Rapunzel's prince, so it was fun watching the two of them together. Anyway, it was very fun. I was glad that I got to see it a second time and see the new cast and kind of like see different interpretations. I'm trying to think of what else my week has been. I did go one more time into my old location and like sat at the bar and...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Annabelle and I went and like sat and that was, you know, because we worked there together for quite a while and just sort of be in the space again and have food and drinks. And then we had sort of a, I shouldn't say we, they had a last night party, I guess I'll say. It was after their last night of being open. We all went to, I'm sure you've been to Jake's Dilemma before on the Upper West Side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've definitely, because back in the olden days, because you always worked sort of on that block area. So yes, it's like kind of a bro-y.
It's kind of, it definitely
bar.
Is. I will say that
it
this
used
was,
to be anyways.
Yeah, no, it still is, though I haven't been in a long time. It was a Sunday night. And I think that basically the owners of the restaurant had just like laid down their credit card and been like, have fun and drink up, which I don't know if it's a great idea to do that with a bunch of restaurant workers.
They're like, and here we get paid back.
There was definitely some shenanigans going on, but it was fun. And it was, you know, it was a lot of people that I didn't work with anymore. And then some people that I had never worked with because I haven't been in that location for a year. Well, but it was still fun to see everyone and see, you know, the managers that I've worked with. And like, some of them are going to stay with the company and some aren't. So, but you know, that's just, I keep saying this, like, it's just New York. Like, I think back on the restaurants that I were, and I think we just did this like last week, but I was thinking about all the spaces that I worked in that aren't what they used to be anymore. And that's, you know, that's how it goes. You know, I think about my parents' first visit to New York. We were in Central Park, and I think we ended up on the Upper East Side, which is kind of odd because we never go to the Upper East Side. But we went to this little bakery. Oh, gosh. I wonder if I'm even going to not remember what it was called. Oh, if I think of it later, I'll yell it out. But I cannot think of what it was. But it was this, like, French bakery. And, like, everything was imported from France, like, including the water. Like, literally all the ingredients were imported. And, like, this is when I could, like, eat pastries. And we asked the person, like, well, what do you think is the best thing? And he pointed out this thing that looked like a donut, and it was called like a Paris Brest or something like that. And we were like, okay, well, we'll get that, but we're also going to get something else because you're giving us a stupid donut. Like, you know, that's such a weird recommendation. And it was like the greatest thing I've ever tasted in my life. Like, it was so light and fluffy and like perfect and kind of I like a creamy dessert. Like, it had sort of like a cream to it.
Me too, Mike. Right? I do too.
So that was their first visit to New York. And, you know, whether or not we knew it was my dad's last visit to New York, I think we probably knew that it was his last visit to New York because he was in a wheelchair at that point. And we tried to go back to this place because we'd gone every year that they'd come to visit. We'd gone to it, and we went, and it had closed. And it was just that thing where I was like, well, you know, that's a bummer. But also, you just experienced the New York loss. Like, you just experienced that New York thing where there's that place that you love in New York. And I know what happens other places. New Yorkers like to act like everything only ever happens here. But it feels like such a New York occurrence of, like, loving something and then it just not being there one day.
And people feel such ownership to Manhattan, to New York in general, and like Brooklyn too, but like where you live, where you walk by every day, where, you know, it's part of, it's yours, this is my neighborhood, and when it changes it's
weird.
So do you know what's going in to the
tearing down the building? They're putting in a whole, that's why it's not even that it's going to be a different restaurant, it's that they're tearing down like a fourth of the block. So there were like two restaurants next to each other, and then there's a deli on the corner, and they're all gone. Like, they're all going to be.
Well, just hope it's not another CVS and a bank or something, you know?
Well, I always think of You've Got Mail, where she talks about her store closing, and she says, it was my store and I loved it, and soon it will be something depressing like a Baby Gap. And I always think of that with things closing in New York.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, there you go. So what's up? What are you digging this week?
Okay.
You weren't sure if you even had one.
I wasn't. We had some technical difficulties, so my mind got to relax a little, and I remembered I was digging something. I'm so happy that SNL is back. I mean, you know, we have three episodes so far. So I watched Megan Thee Stallion episode, and you know what, I thought it was really, really funny. She's did a great job, and I really like her as an artist. I have to read you one of my favorite lines. Have you heard that song Her?
I don't think that I have.
Okay, so I'm also digging her, and I've listened since SNL. I was like, oh, you know, I really should go through her new album and listen. It is so dirty. So very dirty. It talks a lot about, like, you know, eat me from behind. It's amazing. I'm like, geez, she's like, and again, and Adam and I were listening to it because we had gone somewhere. We were driving for an hour, just he and I in the car. And he was like, well, I guess we won't be listening to this with the kids in the car. And I was like, no, we will not. But she has this line. It's the most beautiful rap lick. I don't know how you want to. So she says, because I'm the most sickening hoe, so fucking sick of me. No matter what they do or say, it ain't no getting rid of me. I come in every room and draw attention like a centerpiece, stepping for a long time, moving like a centipede. I love her so much. It's the best. Okay, so that's not what I'm even digging. That's not even my big dig. You want to know my big dig?
All right. I do want to. Okay. Show me your big dig.
My big dig. Okay, here it goes.
What about your big dig?
Okay, you guys. It is the sketch on Weekend Update. Debbie Hole and Stacey Bussey. Did you see this, Mike?
Yes, yes, I did.
They play two Southern ladies. It's Heidi Gardner and Chloe Fineman play two real religious Southern ladies, and they are just so funny. And they're just so, you know, and they're talking about how Hocus Pocus opens up a porthole to hell. And then for a moment, I mean, I don't want to give it away, but Debbie Hole, I think, she becomes possessed. Yes. And it's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I was like, oh, God, thank you. I got so excited. I was like laughing so hard. It was just the funniest thing. And then I just have to say both of them in a later sketch as buttless women, basically. So Megan Thee Stallion is doing like a workout class and she's teaching everybody right. how to twerk with their ass. And then they're like the modified version of the workout class where they literally, I don't know what they did to their butts, but they like wrapped them. They literally have no butt. It's almost disturbing, but it's very funny. So yeah, that's what I dig.
That's fun. Yeah, they're fun. I've really enjoyed, and I don't mean this I'm excited for there to be a in hosting it. Because they have had kind of like serious actors.
100%. Yeah.
They have like, yes, I've been like sort of like serious actors.
Because Miles was adorable, but didn't, you know, agree. Right. I agree with you on that.
Anyway, I have enjoyed, you know what I've really, really enjoyed though? I've enjoyed that like all three Weekend Updates, they've had a new cast member come out and like yes. present something.
Although,
and that's been really, really fun.
I agree. But this guy, this episode, my God, the guy, what was he? Was he just super nervous? I thought it was really bad.
Oh, I don't remember. He
moved from Texas and he came to New York and he walks out his door. It was just,
yeah.
It was cringy.
His thing was a little bit, yeah.
I was like, are you on drugs? Are you nervous? What's happening? I'm hoping he'll be better.
I think he was nervous. I think it's difficult to come out on SNL and like talk shit about New York. Like,
that's a dumb idea. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Probably not the best use of your time.
And he was reading the prompter. I mean, like, this is your one thing you have to do. You can't memorize your one thing you come out to do, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm
sorry. The first two updates were definitely bad. I have some notes.
Yeah.
Yep. That's cool. Yeah, I have enjoyed watching SNL being back.
Okay, it's fun. So tell me, what are you digging this week?
So mine has changed literally several times because I thought that I was like, oh, this. And then I was like, no, it's going to be this. And then I was like this. So we'll go through them. I will say that I did start watching Bad Sisters. I'm only two episodes in. I'm very intrigued.
Great.
It's very, very interesting storytelling. Amazing character work. Like, yeah. I mean, you hate him so much.
So much. Yeah.
So much. Like my soul hurt, like my chest hurt yeah. by the end of the second episode. I was like,
does not get better.
But it's, oh God, I can't. It's so awful. But really, really entertaining. I want to live in that house, her house
too.
That was the parents' house. I'm like, yes. Can I just go live there for a while? That's amazing. So I'm super, super enjoying that. Also, I started watching season two of Dollface.
Okay.
And I mean, it's very good. I'm super enjoying it. It's just one of those things that we had both watched like months ago. I think we watched yeah. the first season, right? I mean, maybe even longer than that. And the second season just came out in this last spring because they do cover COVID. Like the first episode does kind of cover the year of like COVID and lockdown and all that. So they kind of zoom through that to get us to a more present time. But super fun. I definitely recommend if you enjoyed the first season of Dollface.
Yeah.
Check out the second season.
Great.
Yeah, I'm enjoying very much. And then, so this is what I thought I was going to end up on. I thought I was going to end up on the fact that I'm very, very excited and I very much enjoyed Inside Amy Schumer being back.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
So there as of now, there are two episodes that came out. It's on Paramount Plus, which is where you can watch all of her older episodes of it
good.
That I have enjoyed rewatching. I just realized, and I might have said this on here before, like I hadn't seen the first two seasons of Inside Amy Schumer. Like
I mean,
I didn't start watching till
bizarre
season three.
To me. I can't believe
I know,
it. I would be like waiting weekly. Oh my God.
Just for some reason I hadn't watched it originally. So I've been enjoying watching the early ones. The two new episodes are out. They're very, very funny. Very enjoyable. They do kind of a funny thing where it's like they comment on the sketch when it's over, like when some actor will be like, here was why we did this sketch. I mean, it's funny, like they're sort of like commenting on their own stuff,
okay.
which is enjoyable. I also just want there to be like hours of the bloopers. Like I loved how it yeah. would end with like, I want more of them. Like it's so much fun just watching them like crack each other
yeah.
up. So I thought that was going to be it. And that was going to be my digging for the week. And I am digging that. But then last night I went to the movies and I saw a movie called Till, and it is about the murder of Emmett Till in Mississippi in 1955. It's a story that I was aware of. I knew of the incident. I knew of the basic details surrounding it. I will say up front, I was nervous about the film.
I don't know what it's about.
So Emmett Till was a 14-year-old boy who lived in Chicago with his mother. And he was black. And he was sent to Mississippi for a few weeks to see his cousins and be there. And while he was there, an altercation happened between him and a white woman at a store. And he was murdered. He was kidnapped and murdered. And it's, I mean, it's not a spoiler because it really happened.
But the
and
mom
people, so people either know the story or they don't. But I mean, either way, I suggest watching the film because it was, even as a story that I thought that I knew, there was so much more to it. It is harrowing. Like, it is a difficult film. I mean, at one point I was crying so hard, I think people were like nervous.
I am
but,
still recording.
It's incredibly well made. I will say it stars an actress who I've seen her in other things. Her name is Danielle Deadwyler, and she's been in a few things that I saw, that I've seen. Like I she was in the miniseries of Watchmen. So I know her from, but like she's okay. So I guess part of this is yes. like me going back to last week where I was like, the race is sewed up. It's Kate Blanchett. Okay, well, she's amazing. So we're gonna see. I'm just gonna say, like, there's definitely other contenders. I may have been a little too fast to talk. Yeah. And also, like, I wish that I had it in front of me. Whoever the music is so beautiful. Like, whoever did the score, and I've looked him up.
Really?
My computer's being annoying right now, so I can't really look it up again. But anyways, it is not an easy film to watch. And I like listen. It only became basically illegal to kill a black person like a year or two ago. So. We kind of know how the case ends, but it doesn't end hopeless. Like, it does end with a certain amount of uplift, and so it's not an oppressively sad film.
Okay.
But you know, it's rough but worth it. I'll just put it that way.
I looked it up. The musical score was composed by Abel Korzeniowski.
Yes, that name sounds familiar. And he's done a few other things. I looked up his stuff, but it's just beautiful. I noticed that he's done a lot of like suspense or horror films. And you can kind of tell because there's beautiful music, but there's also like there's a foreboding to it that works really, really well with the subject matter. So that's what I'm digging this week. Till, I think it's only in movie theaters, but it's worth seeing. It's a film that should be seen.
Okay, great. Let's do it. See it.
So there you go. Anything you could do without this week?
Yes, here we go.
Okay.
So last night, I made a reservation for a nicer place in our hood up here. And it's a chain. It's like Larson's, you know, the steakhouse. My husband loves steak. And you know, not normally I would want to not take the kids, but, you know, we didn't have really any other plans for his birthday. So this was the thing. We all got dressed up, you know, whatever. We were there. The kids actually did great. We had beautiful food. The food was great. The server, okay, was a little too chatty, but that's fine. You're kind of like, okay. But then what was saying, like, trying to get on my husband's side by being, like, kind of misogynistic in a way. Weird little things of, like, I can't even think of anything right now. But it was just, like, kind of weird. But he was, like, laughing and we were being funny. And, they, you know, it's one of those restaurants where they all wear, like, really sort of fancy. It's a lot like a Capitol Grill situation. Not that fancy. Well, you know what I mean.
Right.
Just to set the tone. So then Adam took the kids to the bathroom and I was just sitting there waiting and I had my card ready. It's his birthday. I wanted to pay for the meal. And so the kids and everybody gets back and the server comes back and grabs my card and makes some joke about like how she's trying to pay before you know how much it's going to cost or some weird thing like that. And I was like, huh? And then rings it up, brings it back to Adam to sign.
Oh, God.
Here's the thing. First of all, I was going to give him a better tip than I know. Adam usually is a pretty 20% bada bing. That's what he does, which is great. It's fine. That's respectable. But because it was such a special night and they brought us a, because it was Adam's birthday, they brought us like a delicious, like it was Banana Foster thing. It was so good. But I was really miffed. I was pissed. And I was like, for one, that's my goddamn card. And it's his birthday. I'm like, okay, so as a server, Mike, if someone handed you their card, would you give it to the husband or would you?
No.
So I'm like offended. I don't even know what to do, but I was like super, I did have two martinis last night, so maybe a little more fiery than normal, but I was very pissed about it. And Adam was like, yeah, that was weird. I mean, anyway, yeah.
That is super bizarre. I will say that as a server, there are times that I don't know who the card is or like I won't really look at it. Like I'll pick it up and run it and then I'll set it down. Yeah. And sometimes I set it down in front of the guy and immediately I'm like, why did I do that? Ah.
Oh, yeah. But this guy was like the whole time being like man versus woman kind of situation. Oh, whatever. You know, like he kept making comments like, I'm like, Adam's not misogynist. What are you doing? I don't understand what's happening here.
Yeah, that is very
But
very
I handed
weird.
Him the card because yeah. It's Adam's birthday. Like I wanted to be the one to buy the meal.
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean? And I didn't even want him to worry about how much it was, you know?
Right.
Like he would never get upset, but I just didn't want that to be a burden on him. It's his birthday, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So that is what I could do without is like someone assuming that, I don't know, just weird man, woman, gender role things that pissed me off.
Yeah. Yeah. And certainly someone handed me their card. I would know to give it back to the person that handed it to me.
I just don't think the guy was very smart, to be honest with you. And then as we're leaving, he's like, sorry, I didn't tell any funny jokes. And I'm like, you told no jokes and you're very awkward and please leave. But we did have a nice time. So I don't want that to taint our whole evening. But I'm red in the face. Like, I pissed me off.
Yeah, that would be very, very aggravating. And the kids did okay at the restaurant?
Oh, they did so good because we made it a big deal. Like, Calvin, oh my God, I should have taken a picture. But he did his hair. He slicked his hair to the side with, I mean, you know, when he does his hair, uh-huh. He's so cute. Mimi put in an outfit she really liked. Everybody got dressed up, you know?
Well,
so we had a good time.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So there was a happy ending
to your do without. Yeah. Mine is kind of a weird little journey. And we've talked about this, that like, we don't really like to do without art. Like, I don't like to, you know, we don't like to criticize. And this isn't a criticism. It's just, this is what I could do without. I could do without my journey to finally purchasing Taylor Swift's new album. And here's the issue. So I enjoy Taylor Swift. I really enjoyed her 1989 album. I really enjoyed Reputation. I liked Lover. It was a little long. It was a little, like, 18 songs is a lot for an album. Like, it felt a little bloated to me. And then she had her two, like, sort of folky albums that came out during the pandemic, which I appreciate. Like, Folklore, was that the first one? Like, I ended up getting into it. It took me a little bit, but I was like, all right, this is good. And then, like, the Evermore came out, like, a day later, and I was like, oh, God, 18 more songs. Because they're all so long, it's just a lot, you know. So it's fine. So she had announced this new album coming out. And here's the other thing about criticizing, especially music. And I don't mean to be like, as a songwriter, but, like, I write music. And sometimes you just write what you write. Like I'm sure there are people that are better at the craft of, like, I'm going to set out to write this. For me, I usually just write the songs that are in me. And sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not, and I don't, you know, like, it is, you know, they kind of, music is a thing that for me at least sort of, like, I don't mean to be like Tori Amos, like, taking credit for songwriting is taking credit for a sunrise or whatever, like, there is a certain amount of, you know, of effort that you put into it. But anyways, so she announced this new album and I was like, all right, well, I'm probably gonna get it. And then it came out and it was like 13 songs. And I was like, well, that's cool. Like, at least looks like a manageable amount of music. That seems fine. I'm like, I'm not gonna buy it right this second. I'll buy it. Cause once again, we've said this before, I'm a person that, like, purchases music. And I was like, I'll get it later. And then I heard this, I watched the video for the lead single. And I was like, oh, I really like this. Like, I like the vibe of it. I like what she's writing about. And I was like, all right, I'll definitely get this. So here's the thing. I came back to buy it. And now there's a 20-song version of it that has come out. And I'm like, well, I don't want there to be 20 songs on this album, but I also don't want to buy the 13-song version. I have there be 7 songs that now I'm just never going to hear. So it's fine. I bought the 20-song version. I listened to it. It's way too long. It's going to now become a 13-song album. I'm going to ignore the last 7 songs, and then, like, maybe a year from now I'll listen to them some more. And it's fine. I'm just kind of like, I don't know, edit. Can we just edit ourselves a little bit? No, no album needs to be 20 songs long.
Right. No, Taylor's like, no, I'm not editing.
And you know what? She gets to do whatever she wants to do. Her songs, her choice. But it's a lot. 20 songs is a lot. I feel like that's a lot of songs.
That seems crazy. That's also why I'm upset about Reboot. Reboot should have...
Opposite,
I don't mean to switch gears.
No,
but
no, that's
opposite.
Fine. Yeah, did you watch the last episode came out today?
No, it's out today. We're going to watch it tonight. I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's another thing you can do without. Why is it only 8 episodes? That's nuts.
There's only 8 episodes for Reboot. I don't know if you guys know, but both Mike and I dig this. And
it's so good.
I'm like, I keep looking, scouring the internet. I'm like, they have to do another season. I mean, like... have to, right?
I'm sure that they will. Yeah. And I get that, like, shows are shorter these days, but no, this shouldn't. 8 episodes, that's crazy pants.
Mommy needs more.
Also, here's one more lighthearted. I could do without crosswords spelling out letters as answers. I hate that.
Oh, that's bullshit.
The letter L is not spelled E-L-L. Like, that's not, you don't spell L. You don't spell S. It's just a crossword.
Oh, that's funny.
For those that thought that my crossword obsession days are over, I just don't talk about it anymore. It's still a major problem. It's still like a major issue that I'm dealing with in my life. I just try not to talk about it too much on the podcast, but... Oh, there you go. That's all. So we were kind of banding about a topic because I didn't really have one, but I sort of like that, like, just in honor of Halloween, we're going to talk about two Halloween things, which are candy and horror films.
Yes.
Because I will say that when I had people over the other week, which, can I also just say that when I talked about having people over for pumpkin carving, and you were like, that's great that you did it so early and got it done with. And I was like, it's just a week before Halloween. No, it wasn't. It was 2 weeks before Halloween. Like, I somehow had like erased an entire week of time. Yeah. So I had bought these two huge bags of candy, and one is like chocolatey candies, because that's usually more what I like. A Reese's peanut butter cup is kind of like my go-to for a candy, right? I will also say that I didn't realize how much I love a Mr. Good bar.
Oh, interesting.
It's just chocolate with peanuts. Once again, I clearly like the peanut chocolate thing. But then I have friends that can't have the dairy, so I bought like fruity candy too. So it's like sweet tarts. Here's the thing, Laffy Taffys, which I really like, almost entirely banana. What?
Oh, really?
Yeah, this bag of Laffy Taffys is like almost, that's like almost the only flavor.
Oh, you mean the flavor?
Yeah.
Oh, that's absolutely horse cocky poppy. That's some bullshit right there.
So that's my candy situation right now. I'm not someone who eats candy unless it's near me. And then I just want to eat all the candy. So I am a little bit dealing with that.
When you were a kid, though, was your favorite like... Or what was your favorite?
You know, a little bit of both, because I really did enjoy like a fruity, chewy kind of thing. Like I did like the big Laffy Taffys.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember like at the roller rink, there were like big sweet tarts?
Oh, yeah.
Because I was obsessed with those.
They're like
I
as big as a
them.
Doorknob. Those are so good. Those are so good.
Yeah, I enjoy that kind of thing. I do also like I enjoy like an Almond Joy because I like a nutty... I like a hearty candy too. I know not everyone feels like a nut.
Sometimes you do.
but I do. So yeah, I'm that person who isn't super into candy until it's near me, and then I can't stop eating it. So it's kind of an issue right now because there's a huge bowl of candy in my living room.
Yeah.
What about you? What's your candy situation?
So, I mean, I like anything kind of like I've been chowing down on the cinnamon bears. I love that. I used to love hot tamales. Mm-hmm. I also was for me it was a toss up, and I think it kind of still is. Growing up, getting either Snickers or Twix. Wait, what's the one where it's got like the cookie and then the caramel and it's
Kit Kat?
No, it is Twix. I love Kit Kat.
It is Twix. Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Question: do you eat Kit Kat? Do you like break it off, or do you eat the whole thing? Like, take a bite.
The idea. I mean, I understand that. Like, the idea of taking a bite makes me a little bit crazy. Like I have
Same.
To break it off and eat the little piece.
Yeah, I'm sorry if you're a person out there who just takes a bite. I think that you might be narcissistic.
Or
and,
a monster.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know. You're a monster. Oh my God. Yeah. So that was me. And I would always trade. And I feel bad because I'm such a brat. But like I would always like negotiate between my brother and sister and just like get all the good candy and be like, you like these Gobstoppers. You love these. You want that. And I'm going to have your Twix or your, you know, Snickers because I'm an asshole.
Were there things that like you, because I remember like hating, and I can't eat them anymore. But before I stopped being able to eat them, I actually grew to like them. But like I used to hate a malted milk ball. Like I thought they were so gross when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't my favorite. I didn't hate them. You know which ones I really didn't like, but I kind of grew to like them as an older person, but I don't even know if they exist anymore, is the Good and Plenties, which is the black licorice with the hard candy
right.
on top of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you're like, damn it, I don't want, why'd I get this?
Yeah, I feel like I went through phases with that. Sort of like I loved Milk Duds. Anything, oh gosh, maybe I do like candy. I think that I've just denied myself. I've denied myself of it for so long that I'm like, I don't even like candy. I definitely, when I used to make the ice cream bar at the restaurant that I used to work at, we'd have like birthdays and bar mitzvahs and that kind of thing. And I would always be in charge of like the sundae bar. And it would be,
a great idea.
Because it was just like ice cream and Milk Duds and then like Sour Patch Kids on the side. Like it just, because like I really enjoy a Sour Patch Kid. I enjoy a sour candy.
Me too. Yeah, I think that's what I want for my next birthday is a sundae bar now. Okay, so now here's our second portion of the question, because I find this really interesting. And I was talking to my husband about this recently because, you know, right now it's like Halloween or Hulaween. Like every streaming service is like, here are the you know, horror movies that we have on hand. So what is your, what was the first horror movie that kind of like messed you up as a kid, like that stayed with you?
So there are two, and one is sort of like famous, and I may have even talked about it before, because I will never forget the night that my parents rented Poltergeist.
Oh, that's right.
And I wasn't allowed to watch it. I was probably like 5 or 6 at the time. But my bedroom was upstairs and like faced the television set. So I literally just opened the door a little bit and watched all of Poltergeist through like a crack in my door.
Oh.
And like, I so distinctly remember that that was the bedroom that there is a tree that like goes along the window and like brushes against the window. And I was certain the tree was going to come in and eat me.
Oh, jeez. Scary.
And I still love that. I mean, that movie is so...
It is a great movie.
It's such an incredible movie. But yeah, I definitely remember that. But the other one that I always think about, and I was trying to look it up, and once again, Mike, for the behind the scenes, we're having a lot of technical issues involving my computer. and one thing that I've not been able to really... It was called The Burning.
Okay,
and
I'll
it came out in 1981, and it stars Holly Hunter, and I think Jason Alexander from Seinfeld was in it too.
That's right, yes.
And I don't... All that I remember is that it... I feel like it was a wannabe Friday the 13th, which I'll feel silly if it came out before Friday the 13th. But it, like, takes place at a camp, and it's, like, something where, like, years before, the camp counselors had, like, set this guy on fire, and now he, like, lives in the forest and kills people with gardening shears.
Wow.
And whenever I see the gardening shears, that's all that I can think of. To this day, when I see gardening shears, I just think of him because that was his like murder weapon of choice. I was looking it up, and I think you can watch it on like Tubi TV or something like that.
I
don't know if it's available anywhere else because I haven't seen it in literally decades, but I definitely have a memory of being far too young and watching this movie called The Burning. Yeah.
So you know how IMDb is aggressive with the...
Yes, it makes me crazy.
I'm watching the trailer. It looks crazy. Ew, did you know what? Harvey Weinstein, original story.
Oh, sure.
But, and two other people, Tony Malam and Brad Grey. I've never heard of this, but it looks creepy. 81, so it's all like, there's people having sex in the woods.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So that's amazing. So mine is, first of all, I have like an honorable mention because... It was part of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and you know when they go in, it's not even a horror movie, but that scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, even,
you know,
yeah,
where it gets like topsy-turvy, and then
it's
there's
like an LSD
snake
moment
and
almost.
It was so scary because there's just a creep factor that just sticks with you. But the real movie that messed me up, like hardcore, it was from 1984, which means I was like, can I do math? 6 years old? And maybe we watched it later. But my friend Kaylee Coates, she had an older brother, so she was used to watching more movies. Like, I was only allowed to watch like PG, honestly. Like, not even PG-13, I don't think really was a thing, but never rated R. I was not allowed to watch. For her, she had a sleepover for her birthday, and it must have been we were in second grade maybe, or third. All these girls, with the lights off, we watched Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, okay.
And that's the movie with Freddy Krueger, and it was created by Wes Craven, and it's basically about... I wanted to look it up. As the spirit of a child killer who had been burned to death by his victim's parents after evading prison, Krueger goes on to murder his victims in their dreams, causing their deaths in the real world as well. And so he's really scary looking, but we knew that he was like a bad guy. You know, Stranger Danger was a big thing back then.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that he gets you in his dreams, and then there's that scary, like there's, I don't know if it's opening, but there's like these little kids playing jump rope, and they're like, 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you.
Uh-huh.
3, 4, better lock the door. 5, 6, grab a crucifix. 7, 8, gonna stay up late. 9, 10, never sleep again. Whatever you do, don't fall asleep. That ruined my life. It ruined my sleep. It ruined... I honestly feel like I should sue, although Wes Craven has passed away by this point. But I need money for my therapy, because that was the scariest shit ever.
Can I say the funniest thing, though, now? If you watch it now, it's so dumb.
Is it?
It's so dumb. Like, I watched it a few years ago with someone. I was like, what? This was scary? And it's probably just...
And you watched the first one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure I would think the same thing. But it was really traumatizing back then.
I remember that one as well. Yeah, I definitely watched... I don't know if it's that, like, just... rentals were a big thing, so we got to watch all these movies that you wouldn't have been able to see in the movie theater because like someone's older brother rented them or something.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Good times.
Too funny.
Yeah. Definitely traumatizing. I know. Do you have anything random for us this week?
Nope. Nothing random. Just don't be misogynistic as the server. That's all.
Yeah.
Just caution.
Mine is because I was just listening to your podcast once again. Because I listen on Tuesdays, and you guys talk about Nellie Bly, and it's funny with Nellie Bly, because yeah, her story is so fascinating, and I know of her for two reasons. One is she is talked about on an episode of The West Wing when the First Lady is going to, I think there's like a statue that's going to be unveiled that she's going to, and it's for Nellie Bly. Cool. So they remember them talking about her on that. But what I really think about when I think of Nellie Bly is they did a drunk history on her.
Oh my gosh, did they?
And I don't know how easy it is to find like one particular like segment of that, but I'm almost positive it was Laura Dern who played her. And it's amazing. So good. Like down to the fact that like the person telling the story at one point, like their dog starts barking and Laura Dern incorporates it in her take on Nellie Bly acting. Like it's so good. So there you go. Nellie Bly. Worth checking out her in general, but yeah, good stuff.
I also was thinking about you because I know you love the history of New York and I'm like Roosevelt Island. There's some real dark.
Well, I think of
history
us.
On that
yeah.
Island.
I think of us driving by it when we would be done with like back in the day when we'd get a car from your old job and we would drive up.
Yeah.
And they used to have like the remains of the hospital like lit. I don't even know if it's still there anymore, but you could drive by. But there was also like a floor of that was for people who had been arrested for like being gay.
No way.
Yeah, I went to a play reading a few years ago where they were doing, it was sort of a play but with some visual media because there's like video of some of it. Like that's where they would take people if they were arrested in like a gay bar. Like there was a floor in that hospital. Yeah, it's pretty wild. There's a lot of disturbing and yet interesting information about that yeah, I would be interested to learn more about.
Crazy. Good stuff. Yay!
So
we did it.
Yeah,
we made it, Mike.
We made it. You guys have no idea. We've been recording for 8 hours. We haven't slept. My computer. Yeah. But it's been a blast because it's been with you.
Yeah, I love you.
So
Mike.
Thanks for talking and thanks everyone for listening. And we'll be back
thanks,
next
guys.
Week. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.
Yes, I'm unwrapping my hard candies before the
unwrap
show
your
starts.
Hard candies before the show starts. There you go. You know the drill.
Yeah.